That being the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Happy Friday morning to you. Megan's here. Busy show today. A lot to get to. Two hot dog related news items.
Hot dog related.
That are very important. Today is the Wienermobile 500.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously,
okay.
National holiday. We all respect that. And also, Joey Chestnut, who is in the hot dog. He's the guy in the hot dog eating contest.
Was
sentenced for slapping a guy in a bar in Indiana and will compete on July 4th while on probation.
Oh my gosh, okay.
I hope he's got an ankle monitor.
That got me all choked up.
I hope he's got an ankle monitor while he eats the hot dogs.
Oh my gosh.
It's theater.
Why is it always like hot dogs in here?
It's always hot dogs in here.
I got the
Memorial Day weekend
Tamagotchi Life video game, which is like very similar to like The Sims and stuff.
Okay, sure.
If you've heard of that.
No.
And so,
I had a Tamagotchi back in the day because I'm old, but yeah.
Wait, Tamagotchi?
Oh, what did you say?
Tamagotchi. So it's a little different. It's kind of like the Miis on the Wii, you know, the Wii system. And
yeah.
Stuff. Yeah. And it's similar to Sims. I got the game and you can give them their own like dialogue and everything, which is fun because Nintendo did not censor it. So you can just say whatever you want. They're never giving us this freedom again.
I was wondering how we'd match the bar here from the junkies doing a beach drinking show, but
yeah.
We're off the rails already. We're there.
Well, the thing is, it relates because I told my Tamagotchis, you know, one day it's like because you can put celebrities in the game and the ones like Sabrina Carpenter's like, I want to be friends with Michael Jackson. What should I talk to him about? And I'm like, the Wienermobile. Hi, Michael Jackson. Do you feel like talking about the Wienermobile?
Tamagotchi, man.
Are you looking it up?
Wow. Yeah? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
So that's how that related, because I put the Wienermobile as dialogue into my game.
It all comes back to hot dogs.
It all comes back to hot dogs.
Around here. Mm-hmm. We'll give a squirrels update. I'm not counting last night's squirrels loss. It was 2-2.
It was a bad loss.
No, it wasn't.
You don't think it's a bad loss?
It was 2-2 under normal playing circumstances.
Fair.
It started pouring rain.
Okay.
And the Rumble Ponies scored 9 runs in the pouring rain, and then they won, or 7 runs, and won 9-2.
Yeah.
That doesn't count. All right? Anybody can score runs in the rain. That doesn't count. That does not go against the CarMax Park record. Strike it from the record. Squirrels back at home tonight.
And
7 o'clock.
Who are the Rumble Ponies anyway?
Like, who
that's
do they
a
think
name.
They are?
That's a silly name.
Who do they think they are? The Rumble Ponies winners yesterday.
Why are the ponies rumbling?
Well, Trey told me on Tuesday, and I'm going to be honest.
Okay.
I've already forgotten.
No, really?
No, I remember now.
Okay.
Binghamton, which I think is in New York. He didn't tell me that part. I'm making that part
I
up.
I have no idea.
Binghamton, the city.
I don't know cities.
Is famous for making carousels.
Oh,
like
okay.
Like at the mall, like you pay your dollar, ride the carousel.
Yeah.
The horse, and they nickname the horses on the carousel Rumble Ponies.
Oh, okay. So that's where it came
carousel
from.
Carousel town.
That's the thing with like, what is this? What I'm really bad at baseball. Double A? Double A?
This is Double A baseball,
yeah.
Yes.
They have the silliest names.
They do.
Like, when I started producing the games, I was like, what is this?
Yeah, the, you know, the rubber ducks, the yard goats.
Yeah.
But we ride with the flying squirrels.
Mm-hmm. The coolest one.
The coolest one. they're on tonight. MP went to traffic court yesterday. That's why I wasn't on the air, and I promised I would recap it in excruciating detail for
all. I wanted a sounder for this.
Well, yeah, it's not now. It's not now. So please take your time. Get the get all the Law and Order sounders ready.
Yep.
Because that will happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say 10:30 all times approximate this morning.
Yeah.
Parney will drop by as well. But I like there's no smooth transition here. Kyle Busch died yesterday.
What the heck?
And we're all still processing that.
That's wild.
And what that was. And so I want to share Kyle Busch memories. I know you produced NASCAR here for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He was 41.
Yeah.
And he won a race last week. And the interview's making the rounds. He's, you know, after the end, you know, they interview him. He's, well, you never know when it's the last one, which gives you chills now watching because it was the last one.
When did he do that interview?
For what? Right after he won the race.
Oh, wow.
Last week in the truck race. You know, they interview him on the track after they win.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he hadn't won for a while. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how was that to get back to victory lane? And he said, well, you never know when it's going to be the last one, which, you know, didn't. I don't think he meant it like that. I don't think he knew, but it's eerie.
It's very eerie. It does make me wonder if he knew.
Well, we still don't know what happened. Here's what the Associated Press said. Kyle Busch's family said he was hospitalized. This is before he died. Said he was hospitalized with a, quote, severe illness and was not going to compete this weekend in the Coca-Cola 600. The AP says he was testing in a racing simulator on Wednesday in Concord. That's outside Charlotte, where they where they do their training, when he became unresponsive and was transported to a hospital in Charlotte. And, like, I mean, who knows? But he there was also a couple weeks ago, he was in the car and he said, hey, when I'm done with the race, I need a doctor. I need a shot. And they hustled him off to that. So... Something was going on.
That's kind of what makes me think, like, when he's like, oh, you never know when it'll be your last one. Like, you know, that's what makes me kind of wonder if he had a feeling. Like, you know, he knew some kind of condition was going on, and it's like, live while you can, you know?
Yeah. Which, you know, so many, and we'll open up the phones. 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. If you want to call in and share a memory. But, like, I came late to NASCAR in the sense that, like, I mean, I remember Dale Earnhardt dying. That's different than this. That was, we watched him die on the track, and then, you know, his son was in NASCAR and changed the trajectory for everybody involved with the Earnhardt family. Teresa and that whole thing disintegrates and reappears, and there's the feud with Dale Jr. Dale Jr. goes from spoiled daddy's boy to the face of NASCAR and the most popular driver for 15 straight years. And the sport changes everything about how it does business, safety, everything. I don't think that's where we are here. It's it's just a tragedy. He's 41. He got his wife was very outspoken. They had a very hard time getting pregnant, ultimately had children, and she was kind of the face and spokesperson of that for a long time.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
And those charitable efforts, which I'm sure she will continue, but they have children. He was disliked. So I came late to NASCAR. I moved to Richmond in 2007 and worked at the newspaper, and NASCAR was still all hands on deck then.
Yeah.
Like, everybody had to go work the NASCAR race because it was the biggest thing in town. And 100,000 people. We, after the race, we wrote our stories, and it was so hard to get out of the Richmond Raceway. We would go into the parking lot, set up a grill, and have like a 2 a.m. cookout, and and just hang out for a while.
Yeah,
because if you got like in your car, you weren't going anywhere.
Oh yeah, I remember those days.
You'd let the parking lot clear, and then leave. But that ended pretty quickly after I arrived here. I mean, you know, and now they're doing, you know, let's say they're doing 30,000 out there on 40,000 on race weekends. It's cool. It's still a fun spectacle, but it was everything here at the time. And those drivers and the Richard Petties and the Ricky Rudds and the, you know, the Labontes and all of it, the Sadlers, of course, all of them, iconic. But by the time I got there, it had already become very sanitized and corporate. And people blame Jeff Gordon for that. And they're right. Jeff Gordon made a lot of money being a more clean-cut version of the NASCAR driver. Jimmy Johnson, you know, popping out of the Lowe's car and thanking his sponsors, which it was never plausible that Jimmy Johnson and Jeff Gordon were driving bootleg whiskey through the hills of North Carolina. Like, you just couldn't see it. That was not them. But Kyle Busch, who was the bad boy, you could. He was a rebel. And you get the headset at the track, and you can listen to the drivers talking to each other. And I always had it tuned to him because he was profane. He would curse out the other drivers. He would curse out his pit crew. He was, I think, impetuant would be the word. We'll use a $5 word this morning. Going into
there
a holiday,
go.
Going into a holiday weekend, you can't do that. Can't do that. but nobody liked him. He got introduced at the track, and they booed him. They gave him the middle finger. He gave it right back to the fans. But over time, of course, like, I was attracted to that because, like, I thought that's what NASCAR was. I remember going to Southside Speedway and, like, the pit crews would fight with each other, like, just fist fight each other at the end of the race. I'm like, that's racing. I was drawn to that. Mm-hmm. And that was Kyle Busch. He rubbed everybody the wrong way. And you read all the tributes today, and Jeff Gluck had a great one, and I, you know, the Associated Press has a story up about him, and there'll be so many more. The ESPN crew has some great words about him as well. All of it talking about how he mellowed later in life, became a family man, really settled into his role, and in a lot of ways passed the bad guy baton to Denny Hamlin, who now also is a good guy, because we're in this weird, like, it all comes back around. Now, Kyle's a champion. Denny was never a champion, and I think at the end of these careers, to rabble-rousers in the sport, people understand Denny needs to win a title because he's been that good for a long time, and through a lot of just exceptional bad luck moments, he's never won a NASCAR championship. He's been agonizingly close for a long time. Denny posted an Instagram, said Kyle Busch was our Kobe, referring to Kobe Bryant, mm-hmm. which I think is a great analogy, because that's cool. Kyle Busch cared about winning. And that was it. That's the list. Mm-hmm. When he was out there on the track, he was going to win and you were going to lose. And there wasn't really anything else to it other than that. He was just pushing people aside, doing things. I emailed Bill Drake this morning. I said, man, this is a tough one. He said, really makes you appreciate every day you have with family and friends. Such an amazing passion and desire, and an amazingly talented driver. Feel for his family, which is, I feel all those things as well this morning. He's going to go down as one of the greatest race car drivers of all time in any format. He liked racing everything, go-karts, IndyCars, you name it. He was in them. And it happens here on the eve of the biggest weekend in racing, the Coca-Cola 600, the Indy 500, and they're moving Monaco, but all three of those for a long time made Memorial Day weekend racing weekend, and so I think a lot of people will be remembering Kyle Busch this weekend as they watch racing and figuring out. Now, when Dale Earnhardt died, Dale Jr. kind of bared the brunt of that. He had to become the face of that, of his dad dying and everybody's grief, which was unfair to him. Now, it's a little different for Kyle because his brother Kurt was an accomplished NASCAR driver as well and is very much on the scene, so you never wish that on anybody, but he's certainly better prepared to handle what's coming here. And obviously, I would assume it'd be a little bit somber of a 600 this weekend at Charlotte, one of the signature races on the NASCAR circuit. So, if you're just joining us, Kyle Busch, two-time NASCAR champion, won more races across all the series than anybody in NASCAR history. They didn't let him race when he first qualified.
Really?
Because he was 16 years old.
That's what I was going to ask, what year he started.
He was 16, but the series was still sponsored by Winston Cigarettes. And so they told him he couldn't race until he was 18 because he couldn't get the cigarette trophy in Victory Lane.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because he wasn't 18.
Okay.
But the second he turned 18, he started winning. And then they passed rules banning him from riding in the truck series and the lower series. Because at the time, most of the star drivers just focused on winning in the Cup Series, the big races with all the money. But he wanted to race on Friday and Saturday and Sunday and Monday if they let him, and Tuesday.
The love of it.
But he was winning the trucks races. And they're like, no, we need to develop stars in that series too. You can't just win all the races.
He's like, why not?
So they kicked him out. But NASCAR's going to feel this one for a long time. Headline this morning, Kyle Busch was more than a villain. He was the greatest NASCAR driver of his generation. As tributes pour in from across the sporting world, from across the NASCAR world, a lot of people rocked by this because, we went through Dale Earnhardt, and now Kyle Busch is 41, and we don't know the details, and we don't know what happened, but it's gonna leave a hole in the NASCAR scene for a long time. So if you want to call in and share some Kyle Busch memories, you can. 833-804-0910. Did you boo him at Richmond? Did you come around in time? Did you like him the whole way? The M&M's car. Mm-hmm. That was an iconic car at Richmond for a long
time. I remember that.
Long time. That trading paint with the FedEx Toyota there up front that Denny had. He was an iconic NASCAR driver, two-time champion. embraced the theater of it all. He was the bad guy. Denny never liked being the bad guy. Mm. Kyle didn't mind being the bad guy. He leaned straight into that persona.
Yeah.
He was good for business. You know, like, you need a villain. He was happy to play the role. He was a good villain because he won a lot, too. It's like peak Yankees. We hate them, but
yeah,
you need them winning because that's good for the game. Knicks may be getting back to that. We'll take on the playoffs as well, and Carolina comes out, scores the first goal, then Montreal puts up a casual five spot on them. We'll check in on the ice as well. Lots to get to today, and yes, I will tell the story of being in traffic court yesterday in 14 minutes. But right now, we got to take a break. We're back after this. You're listening to Richmond's home for the Flying Squirrels, home all weekend. Go check them out on this holiday weekend. You're listening to 910 The Fan now at 105.1 FM. Hanging out on a Friday morning into a holiday weekend. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Virginia Tech, the Hokies. We're the home of the Hokies. I spent some time the other day breaking down the Virginia Tech football schedule. That's on the podcast, but that's not what I want to talk about today. Virginia Tech has won a national championship in dressage. Yeah, see that face.
What is that?
Dressage. That's an equestrian sport. Equestrian is a fancy word that means horses.
Okay. Well, why don't we just say horses? like it is 10:30 a.m.
Dressage comes from the French word dresser, meaning to train. It is an equestrian sport where the rider guides a horse through a precise, memorized series of predetermined movements, okay, often called ballet on horseback.
Okay.
And nobody's better in it. At it in the entire world, the Virginia Tech Hokies.
Let's go!
National champs.
Let's go.
Sadly,
I'm down.
Not an NCAA sanctioned sport.
Ah.
So we are not.
Boo.
Eh, can't put it on the scoreboard just yet. Mm. That's all right though.
One day they're training for it.
I am following. We do have week zero college football lines out. First ones of the year. UVA will be a 3-point favorite over NC State in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. A game. Now, AWOD's Football Fest is at the same time, so we won't be able to take the show on the road to Brazil because we're needed at AWOD's Football Fest. If it weren't for that, we'd be right there in Rio,
yeah,
with them, yeah, right next. We'll be watching, though, from River City Roll during week zero. That's the weekend before Labor Day. We're in the thick of the summer here. Now, I know some people say summer is whenever the calendar says it is and the meteorologists and all that, like it starts in June. To me, summer has always been Memorial Day to Labor Day.
I can see that.
That's summer.
Yeah.
Anything else is the spring or the fall.
Once the kids get out of school.
Yeah. The kids have to go to school next week,
mm-hmm,
which is a wild turn of events because all I ever do is talk about how the kids never go to school.
Yeah.
And then they got to go to school for a bonus week after, mm-hmm, Labor Day. Bummer for them.
When do they go back?
That's a great question. I should know.
I don't have kids. I don't know.
That's on me. We'll figure that out. I'm a little jealous of our DC friends who are all at the beach today.
Mm.
Grand Danny, mm-hmm, the Junkies beach show.
I'm mad about that.
AWOD's on location. He goes to River City Roll on Fridays. Just us.
Yeah.
Hanging out. Empty building.
Yeah.
Hanging out.
We saw Jeff Wicker earlier. That's always fun.
Jeff Wicker doesn't take a day off.
He never takes a day off.
He does not take a day off. No.
My mom asked me the other day because I'll fill in for Rebecca when she's out.
Yeah.
And then mom was like, well, who fills in for Jeff when he's out? I'm like, Jeff just never leaves.
He does not take days off. He's the Iron Man. He's, mm-hmm, Cal Ripken of morning radio, mm-hmm, over there. And he brought us spicy peanuts.
Yeah. That was good. first thing in the morning, not so much, but it was good. I think I would have liked it if it was a solid 3 in the afternoon.
I feel like I need to pair it. I needed a Coke or a Jack and Coke, mm-hmm, or something,
yeah,
to pair
something.
It with. It's a little something.
Or put it in a recipe or something for,
yeah,
dinner, you know, just I had a little spice in there.
Little something like that.
Yeah.
Little something.
Straight up by itself was a little weird. I felt so it was a spicy peanut. I felt like I was eating a peanut and spice. Like, to me, the two flavors did not mix. They were kind of separate in my mouth, if that makes sense. I don't know.
I think we may be overthinking the spicy food.
I think we are.
We might be overthinking the spicy. You brought a whole breakfast here, so you're good.
I got strawberries. These are fresh from the farmer's market. They're the best kind.
Did you play at the farmer's market?
Last week.
Oh, mm-hmm. Nice. How'd it go?
It was good. Palatine Farmer's Market. They got a new location. The new location is kind of weird. I think they're kind of working out the kinks, but...
Any gigs this weekend?
One of them got canceled due to the weather, and I'm upset because it was a nice place, and it was like new and stuff, new venue. But I'm supposed to be at All Shucks Country Store tonight, so...
Supposed to be.
Unless it gets canceled due to the weather.
Nah,
I don't know.
We'll see.
I don't know.
Squirrels tonight as well.
Yeah.
It's tough because they've had so much momentum, both winning baseball games and with attendance. Mm-hmm. Tough to take a step backward on a rainy holiday weekend. But we can't control these things.
We can't.
If it doesn't rain, get out there and support them. Mm-hmm. Parney joins the program at 11 o'clock. I also want to talk about Malik Nabers, the Giants wide receiver. This is fascinating. John Harbaugh said yesterday he doesn't know when Nabers will be back, and he has, quote, not a simple knee injury. That's one that bears watching. He's an important part of that operation. And for a receiver too, we've got time before the season, but not a simple knee injury on May 22nd. That's not trending in a great direction for the New York Giants. We'll keep an eye on that for sure. You always have one or two off-season injuries. You hope they're not super costly. He's fun to watch. So hate seeing that for Malik Nabers. As promised, though, I went to traffic court yesterday. I'll recap it for you. On the other side of the break, we step away for a minute, get out, watch the Squirrels. They're home all weekend. You're listening to the Home for Squirrels of Baseball in Richmond. 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM. Happy in the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide. On the free Odyssey app on a Friday morning ahead of a holiday weekend. And we'll get back to remembering Kyle Busch, NASCAR superstar, died at age 41 yesterday. Shocking. I was floored when I heard that. I had to do a double take. We'll pass along information as we have it, but we're still learning about what happened out there. Flying Squirrels baseball all weekend. We'll have Party on here at 11 o'clock, so I always look forward to our time.
I'm so sorry. It's like squeaking. Did this thing like break while I was gone? I've been off for a bit.
We haven't chatted in a while.
Sorry.
Is your studio breaking over there?
Yeah.
That would be unprecedented around here.
It's happened.
I took this screw off on my microphone the other day accidentally. Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. It's a bit of a scene around here.
So you've broken yours. Now I'm breaking mine.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on anymore.
I don't know, man. The board is also disgusting. I don't know. So,
Clifford,
Clifford, if you hear me, please get in the studio and please handle these things. Thank you. I appreciate it.
There you go. Sometimes you just gotta give Clifford the shout out there. But I was gone yesterday. That was on me because I was at traffic court.
I still don't have the sounder.
That's all right.
We got crickets. I'll give you crickets.
That's all right.
There you go.
Here's what happened. I got nothing to hide.
Okay.
This is what happened.
Okay.
The Manchester Bridge. It's downtown. Mm-hmm. I think it's 8th Street as you're going either away from downtown or into downtown. It's got like the little walking area in the middle. Mm-hmm. Beautiful view of the city as you come in.
I always love it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the exits, the kind of the highway style exits. Do you know what the speed limit on that road is?
No, because I don't drive downtown. So I always get like Vince or my mom to drive me.
But if you were guessing, probably 55 or something.
45? I would put it at 45.
It's 35.
It's 35. 35 is excessive.
Well, it doesn't matter whether it's a good speed limit or not.
Yeah.
You do have to follow it.
Yeah.
And I was going 58.
And R.I.P.
That's more than 35, as the officer explained. He was very nice about the whole thing.
Okay. And so you didn't get like a grumpy one?
And I was very nice about the whole thing because... What do you do?
I would have been shaking. Like, I wouldn't have been able to get, like, anything, like, my ID or anything. Like, I would have been shaking.
You would have cried and he would have let you off. I know how this works. I know how this works.
Yes.
I know how this works.
I'm a crybaby. So I would have.
And it works.
And it works.
You disgust me.
I can't help it, okay? It just comes.
So he pulls me over, you know, whatever this was, a few weeks ago. Yeah. The 2 days later, I come home and I have like 6 letters in the mail.
Hello?
And nobody sends mail anymore. Like, when's the last time you got mail?
Exactly. Thank you. I don't check mail.
Years ago. we live kind of in the older part of Richmond, so they actually shove it through the door.
Oh my gosh.
Got the little slot in the door. They come walk up and push it through the door.
Yeah, you can't avoid that.
Not anymore. No, you can't afford that anymore. No. Now they got like the box where you got to put your key in. Yeah. I would never check my mail.
Yeah.
Pushes it through the door. 6 envelopes from lawyers who are like, let me represent you in court.
Mm-mm.
I didn't talk about it on the radio. They all found out together.
That's weird. I don't like that. That makes me uncomfortable.
They all know your boy MP showing up in court. Yeah. I got the glasses on. I look smart. I'm wearing my glasses this week.
Yeah, you are.
LA came in.
Okay.
And looks at me. She goes, oh. You never wear your glasses.
Yeah.
Your eyes look really tiny.
And then I think I remember this. I was there for that.
Then she starts laughing.
She's crazy.
So we're off to a good start. Uncorked and Unplugged. Go watch it. That's her thing.
June 6th.
Keep her in business.
It's also my thing because I'm from Mix 98. So go. We got Uncorked and Unplugged June 6th at the Williamsburg Winery.
Vertical Horizon.
David Cook.
Howie Day.
Howie Day.
Who's your favorite?
Ooh, Vertical Horizon.
Nope, Howie Day. Incorrect. So, good try.
I know like one song by him.
That album is straight bangers. Like, Collide was the only one that made it to the radio.
Yeah, that's the only one I know.
That's correct. Go listen to the rest of the album. It's
and
bangers.
I think I know it from like a Hillary Duff movie.
Sure. Yeah. Bangers. So I get all these letters, and some of them are nice.
The transition. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
And it's like, hey, sorry this thing happened to you. Like, well, I'll represent you in court. And some of them were like fear, like you could go to jail. Do you know that you could go to jail? If you drive more than 20 over in Virginia, you could go to jail. You'd better hire me. I'll keep you out of jail. So there's a lot going on here. Now,
does that count as like reckless driving?
Oh yeah.
Okay, we're in that territory.
Yeah, so mandatory court appearance. Yeah.
Okay.
Right, if you're more than 20 over in Virginia, learn from your boy, learn from MP. I'm here to help.
Yep.
If you drive more than 20 over the speed limit, as a mandatory court appearance, there are no optionals.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to be more careful.
For a week.
Yeah.
So we go in. I was in Manchester court, because I guess I was on the Manchester Bridge. And here's what I like. You ever been to the Richmond court?
No.
Okay. It's kind of a mess. Parking's a mess. It's a big building. Yeah. The building's a mess. It's old. You can't take your cell phone in. And for a long time, they were like, tough crap. And you had to like hide it in the bushes.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Now they have little pouches that they put, you know, like at the concerts. They'll pack it up. You can't have your phone. So, I mean, this is the real punishment.
Yeah.
Is me sitting in a room for 2 hours without a cell phone. That's the real punishment here. Yeah. There was money involved, but that was the real punishment.
It reminds me of the time that my dad came to my graduation up at Liberty University, and they had the no weapons rule, and he had a pocket knife, and I think he had to like hide it in a bush or something.
Yeah, which doesn't make anybody safer if we have pocket knives hidden in bushes.
No.
That does not increase public safety.
It does not.
By the way.
Yeah.
I'm in a room with all the other scofflaws, if that's the word, and the judge comes in. It's like TV. They all rise. We all stand up. And he was very nice. Judge Hicks, nice guy. He wasn't trying to scare us, but also we knew we had done wrong. I was sentenced to 8 hours of traffic school.
Oh no! So you gotta you don't just pay money. You have to do like a whole thing.
If I do traffic school though, they'll wipe it off my record.
So
my insurance won't go up.
I would do that too.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
8 hours of traffic school, and so you go. You can either do it in person or online.
Okay, that's nice.
But online, like you're like, oh, I can do it online. Like I'm gonna watch Netflix while I go to traffic school. You have to keep your focus on the window, and it does the like, you there? You there? You there? Just check it. You there?
Okay.
So you got, it's 8 hours.
Yeah.
8 hours a hard time.
That's so annoying.
But I'm good in the eyes of the Commonwealth of Virginia. No jail.
Yeah,
show
good.
My face.
Good.
But all the lawyers know where I live now. It was a little weird.
Yeah. Okay, so I don't know how this works. Did your, like, wife get to come and, like, sit in the courtroom and watch? Because, like, I feel like if this happened to Vince, I'd be like, hey, can I, like, be part of the audience?
Yeah, oh, anybody can come.
Okay.
Anybody can. You just show up at court and watch. Yeah, it's a public.
You should have told me where it was. I would have shown up and watched.
I should have brought you. Well, you weren't doing anything because I wasn't in your host on the show. So, yeah.
Invite Hazel.
I should have brought you.
Live coverage.
Absolutely.
That would have been so funny.
I wonder if you could bring the recorder in. I don't know, because you can't bring your cell phone
in. That's true.
I don't know, but you should have, yeah.
That would have been so funny.
Why, well, you know, it ends. Excuse me, can I talk to the bailiff? This is 910 The Fan.
Yeah.
When I interview you for the show tomorrow.
You have a celebrity in here. Like, what are you doing?
Celebrity court.
Did anyone recognize you in there?
Nobody
that
recognized me.
That would have been so
me.
Funny.
The Manchester Courthouse, though, free parking.
Okay.
You just walk in.
Love that.
It's small.
Yeah.
There were two rooms. They told me which room I was in. Mm. I thought the Manchester court experience was lovely. So shout out to the good
10.
People working at the Manchester courthouse.
Wouldn't recommend, but if you have to go there, it's nice.
I'm angling to not do it again.
Yeah.
That's
that's the goal.
That's the goal here.
That's so funny. I couldn't believe when you texted me that.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not like enough of a celebrity that like Odyssey's going to like send their lawyer and like MP has to do the show. Get him out of this, you know, like some. Now,
I would have tried that.
Here's what I learned. Here's what I learned yesterday.
Yeah.
If you have a lawyer, you get to skip the line.
Oh.
So they started, there's like, you know, I'm going to say 30 of us in the room.
Okay.
The people with lawyers got to go first.
Okay.
Because apparently the lawyer's time is valuable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unlike everyone else.
But here's what happened. Court ended about 1. I'm a little hungry. Not angry. I was happy. I felt like I got a good outcome.
Yeah.
You know, like I'll go to driving school.
Yeah.
Attend some driving school and then watch some NASCAR this weekend. So I go to the McDonald's right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a chaotic McDonald's.
Yeah.
On a good day.
Yeah.
So I go to the McDonald's. I get a burger. I get fries. I get a McFlurry. Mm-hmm. Love a McFlurry. You can never get a McFlurry.
Never.
Because the ice cream machine's always broken.
It's always broken.
It's always broken.
Every single time.
The McDonald's ice cream machine has a lower batting average than the Mets right now. It's terrible. But they rang me up. I drive around. I give my the first window. You give me
so
your
you're
money.
You're getting it.
I give him my money at the first window. I'm still not sold that I'm getting it. First window, I give him my money. He said, pull around to window 2. Now I think I'm getting ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
They have taken my money for ice cream.
I would assume, like, you're getting ice cream. They took your money. I mean,
get to the second window. She says, I'm sorry, the ice cream machine's broken.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
She says, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean, what do I want? She says, like, it's really hard to give you your money back.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that's true or not. But it's really hard to give you.
They
do you want,
like dealing with it.
More, you know, like some food or something. Mm. I've ordered food, but yeah, I want food.
You're like, anything?
That's what I was kind of like. Like, yeah, what do you mean? Should you like food? Is it like, can I get a Big Mac and fries? Sure.
What the heck?
And go and gives me a Big Mac and
How
fries.
How did you luck out?
In addition to my burger and fries.
How does it feel to be God's favorite? I mean, like, I've never had that happen.
Things are bouncing MPs away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good, insane behavior.
Good finish to an insane day.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't recommend trying that, by the way, because that could go the other way really easily as well.
Okay. When I speed, I think of you now. I went a little faster than I should have on the way over here this morning.
That's great. We're doing Kyle Busch memories, and people think of like... MP, when I go too fast in a car, I will always think of you.
Yeah, because I went a little too fast this morning, and I looked down, and I noticed it, and I was like, oh, this is what happened to MP the other day.
That's the MP.
I should slow down.
That's the MP.
So I don't want to go to traffic court.
No, you don't want to go to traffic court. No. You want to sit somewhere without a cell phone for 2 hours
either.
I'm
not made for that. I'm going to cry.
You would get out of it. You would so get out of it.
I hope so.
All right. I've dominated our talking time. But I want to hear from you. I also want to hear from Parney at 11. Squirrels update coming. More of your Kyle Busch memories. 833-804-0910. Heading into the Memorial Day weekend. DC crews up in Dewey. The junkies on the app, Grant and Danny, later today. AWOD in the middle. He'll start at noon. You're listening to 910 The Fan now at 105.1 FM. MP in the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We're worldwide on the free Odyssey app all through the holiday weekend. Richmond Flying Squirrels baseball. Look, they lost last night at CarMax Park. Never happens. I'm not counting it, though. Doesn't count. Not a real loss for the Richmond Flying Squirrels last night. That's my official stance on the matter. We'll save the full Squirrels update for later. But what you need to know is it rained last night. Hard. Like, it was a big rain.
Yeah.
And it was tied 2-2.
Yeah.
In normal weather conditions. And then it started raining. And they kept playing baseball.
It just messed everything up.
Well, and the Rumble Ponies scored 7. I don't think that counts to me.
Yeah.
No, if a team loses and nobody's there to see it, does it make a sound? No. No, it doesn't. Shouldn't count. So wipe it from the slate.
Yep.
Still awesome at CarMax Park.
We are very forgiving of the Squirrels' losses here.
Well, now they lose legit. I'll own it. I'll own it. Mm-hmm. But this was not legit.
Not legit, no.
I'm sending it back. 7:05 tonight, first pitch. Holiday baseball weekend. Yeah. They're doing a pig picking tomorrow, Megan.
A pig picking?
They're doing a pig picking.
I love pigs. Wait, what are you talking about?
I don't think you're going to love this then.
Wait, what? What are you talking about? What are they doing to the pigs? I'm so confused. I'm thinking like little baby pigs and like you pat them.
No. That's where they barbecue the whole pig.
Stop it.
Yeah.
That's like a Filipino thing. Yes. My husband's Filipino. Yeah. So,
well,
like,
take him. You can drop him off and go do something else with your time for 3 hours.
We were supposed to have that at our wedding.
Oh.
We were going to have, because like that's like a Filipino thing and they have it at all the weddings and stuff. And we were supposed to have, it's like, I think it's lechon. I think that's the thing. And so you have the whole pig. It's just out there roasting for everyone. You just see the whole thing.
And that would have, like, the food at your wedding was a 10 out of 10.
Yep.
11 out of 10. It was great. Like,
it was so good.
We had like Filipino aunties back there, like Megan. Uh-huh. Oh my goodness. So good.
Yeah.
I mean, that would have been like iconic.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if she had it there, but just didn't have the pig. We were supposed to have the whole pig, but.
Well, yeah, I would imagine there's an apparatus involved as well. You can't just put that on the grill.
Yeah, no. Yeah. So,
but takes some
usually
time.
It's like on display. So,
if you are not squeamish about these things, tomorrow night, it's the kickoff to summer barbecue with a pig picking dinner at the Richmond,
so
the Richmond Flying Squirrels. They play at CarMax Park.
I like barbecue, I swear.
Maybe setting this one out. Ooh, pigs. I like it. It's not a petting zoo.
Squirrels, you're going to hear from me. You're going to hear from my lawyers. That's so sad.
But get out there all weekend long. Support the Richmond Flying Squirrels.
I'm not supporting them that day.
I don't even know where
I'm not. Sunday.
You got your farmer's market granola over there. Like, you're too healthy. You're too healthy for this.
I got strawberries.
You got
strawberries.
You got strawberries over there. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's where you get the fresh fruits and vegetables and stuff.
Yes. They got meats over there too. You don't.
Yeah, they do.
You don't have to look at the whole pig though.
Yeah, I don't usually buy the meats. I don't know.
I was in Texas last week. We haven't done a show together in forever.
It's been a while.
I was in Texas last week.
Yeah.
And we went to a barbecue place. Just the smell. So good. Like, we've got ZZQ, so we've got it here.
Yeah.
We're lucky. But man, that's the best.
I like homemade barbecue.
Sure.
That's my thing.
I like all barbecue. You name it, I like it. Only one I'm iffy on, and people get very mad at me for this, is the pork soaked in vinegar, North Carolina style.
I'm down for that.
Yeah. It's too much vinegar. I'm just going to say
true.
It. I'm just going to say it. Somebody's got to say it. It's too much vinegar.
That's true.
But
no,
I'll go. I'll have a good time.
A little bit of tasting.
You can usually get it without the sauce. I'll load up on sides. I'm a sides guy.
Yeah.
I'm a cheap date. If we go to the Morton's Roost Chris, I don't need a steak.
Yeah.
You know how much those steaks cost?
Too much.
But give me two sides, some bread bowl. I'm happy. The owners aren't happy, but I'm happy.
That's with me too. Like, I'm a big side person.
Love the sides.
We'll try to have, like, I never realized because my family would have steak growing up and everything, and now I go to the grocery store and I try to buy some steak for me and Vince, and it's like $30.
Not in this economy.
One steak.
No
chance. One steak.
No chance.
Like, sorry, babe. We're going to have the steak gums. We're not getting actual steak anytime soon. So I can't justify that. That's crazy.
That's a little crazy.
That's insane. And especially, like, it's, like, that big. Like,
Everything's out of control. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to cook it right. Like, mm-hmm. you know, because you don't want to mess up a $60 steak.
I don't know. I'm pretty confident in my steak cooking abilities.
I like that.
Like, I can make a good one, but I just don't want to spend the money on it.
I overcook it too easily. I'll take it off. Yeah. It'll be, like, too red. I'll be like, and then put it back on and, like, boom, it's done. It's top. The timing's tricky.
My thing is, I like it like really spicy. I put a bunch of Worcestershire, a bunch of pepper, a bunch of garlic salt. The Montreal chicken, that's my like favorite spice.
You like a nice horseradish cream sauce? That's where it's at.
I haven't tried it with that. That might be good.
That's a good Memorial Day topic for you right there.
My family does not like it when I cook it for them because it's too spicy for them.
They need to get over it.
Okay, fine. Well, I'll give you the white person version. I'm not going to put anything on it.
If Gary Williams gets to talk about his breakfast plate, we get to talk about this. Those are the rules.
Exactly.
No, but you're maybe a gig this weekend.
Yes, maybe a gig, maybe not. I'm supposed to be at All Shucks tonight, 6:30 to 9, and it's a good venue. And it is, like, we have, like, it's a patio area. We've got covering, so it should be fine.
But we didn't get a chance to do the Squirrels update 2 days ago when they had the walk-off win, which... That was more fun. Mm-hmm. So that's on me. It's on me for going to traffic court.
Yeah. Why do you have to speed?
Boo. Think of me.
I don't know where the sounder is. So.
Also, Nationals had an inside the park home run.
Okay.
There have been 4 inside the park home runs in baseball in the last 5 years.
Oh, my gosh.
It's very rare.
Yeah.
3 of them have been at Nationals Park.
That's insane.
It's a wild stat. And it's not abnormally dimensioned either. Mm. Very weird. I want to get into the Joey Chestnut story.
Okay.
I think we should do that with Parney.
Okay.
Joey Chestnut is the 17-time winner of the hot dog eating contest. Yeah. Pled guilty to misdemeanor battery. Slapped a dude in a bar.
Why?
The judge has ruled. So part of his plea is he can't leave the state of Indiana.
Mm. He's oh my God.
But the judge has ruled he will be allowed to travel to Coney Island to defend his hot dog eating title. That's justice right there.
I don't know how I feel about it.
The system works, Megan. The system works.
Part of me is like, yeah, let's go. And then the other part of me is like, really?
We're going to do another hour of radio. There is absolutely no chance we top you getting excited and then horrified at the pig picking. Great moments in radio.
I didn't know it was coming next.
Parney on the other side. Let's ask him for his memories of Kyle Busch. You can call in with yours as well, 833-804-0910. Back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Yeah, be the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Normally check in with our guy Parney on Thursdays. All right, Parney, I just told the story. I went to traffic court yesterday. When the judge tells you to be somewhere at a certain time, because you did 23 over the speed limit, you don't explain that you have a radio show. You just go there. But we're back. We're doing the show. We got a lot on the board here today. The Squirrels loss doesn't count because it was 2-2 when it started raining. Runs scored after the rain don't count. The passing of Kyle Busch, which jarred me, 41 years old. A lot going on in the world of sports. So bring in Parney. Good morning. What's up?
What up, MP? I'm going around the neighborhood here to DC. Who wants to have afternoon beers? So if you and the crew there want to have afternoon drinks, head on down to Sandbridge.
And I don't know. I thought you were in Richmond.
I don't know if I should tell you this or not, but I don't think it's illegal. But I've never. I always try to do different things when I'm on your show, right? Like, we've talked from how many different states? A bunch of different states.
So I'm in
the backyard of. We've done this from the seventh inning stretch before, but I've never done it while chumming the water by the boat dock so I can catfish this afternoon. So I don't know if chumming waters is like frowned upon by avid fishermen, but that's what I'm doing. And you probably can hear all the hammering going on at my neighbor's house.
You're chumming the water to catfish.
Yeah.
Why do like the fishermen get mad about that?
I don't know if it's, I mean, I would think it's not like taking steroids in baseball or anything, but it's cheap a little bit.
Okay. Well, here's the thing to me, because I went out on one of those big fishing boats in the Outer Banks once, you know, like, they've got so much technology has changed the game. Like, they've got, like, radar machines telling them where the fish are. That, to me, is definitely cheating. If you're looking at a radar machine that tells you where the fish are, that's cheating.
I don't know about that. That's like analytics in baseball, right? You're just using the information that you got. I'm
old, so like, this needs to be a fair fight between you and the fish. If you can see exactly where the fish is, that's less of a fair fight. I'm just gonna say it. I'm a no.
I don't know, man. Dumping 4 cans of wet dog food into the bay.
Well, I'm not saying you're 100% in the clear, because you're definitely not. Megan, by the way, I know you love Megan. I love Megan.
I will try to get Megan to come down here and have a beer this afternoon. She put me on the air instead of talking.
Well, Megan is.
I didn't catch what you said.
Megan is bouncing back at the moment, Parney, because I, you know, we run down the Squirrels promotions and we talk about them because people go to the games. They want to know what the promotion is. And tomorrow night is the pig picking kickoff to summer barbecue. And Megan goes, "Ooh, I love pigs. Can you pet them?" And so I had to tell her what a pig picking is, and it's been kind of rough ever since.
Do you know what a pig picking was? Sorry, I was lighting a cigar. No, also something I'm doing new for this week's episode with you is I'm smoking a cigar because I haven't taken a shower yet, and I smell so bad this morning that I can smell myself. You know, have you ever like smelled so bad that you can literally smell yourself? And you're like, "Wow, I need to take a shower."
I'm gonna have a cigar.
two things I wanted to talk about with you in your intro, and it took us a long time to get here because of me messing around.
Me too.
But number one, it did rain last night. We did give up 7 runs in the ninth inning, so it should not count.
Doesn't count.
One of the things I wanted to tell with rain in the forecast this weekend, I wanted to tell the MP on the mic listeners, this is your chance to see what CarMax Park really is. If there are rain delays, there are so many places for you to spend time and enjoy the experience at CarMax Park. So don't let the rain, don't let the weather forecast stop you from going out to CarMax Park Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. And then the second thing I wanted to say is Kyle Busch shook me too. And it probably triggered me because in 2001, I think you know this about me, 2001, February 18th, when Dale Earnhardt passed away, he owned the Kannapolis Intimidators. He was part owner of the baseball team that I ran, and Dale Earnhardt Sr. was my boss. So I've personally been through – he wasn't my direct boss, but he was ultimately my boss. I've been through the sudden stop in life where a larger-than-life icon – that's revered by so many, including thousands of complete strangers, dies suddenly at a young age. I mean, this one is a little bit more confusing than Dale Sr. because Dale Sr., I mean, millions of us
saw it.
You know, so I've kind of been going through it since last night, too. I was having dinner down at the Sandbridge Island Beach Bar when I found out, and it kind of hit me in a different way. And so I think with Parney Time and Parney Time podcast, you know, we talk about all the time, and we just did this past week, relationships are the most important thing in life. and we're, you know, every day we have to live it. Today's the only May 21st, 2026 we're ever going to get. And I think, unfortunately, the Kyle Busch sudden passing shows us. I mean, how many I saw Ryan McGee, who was on Parney Time with us last season. He was on ESPN last night, and he's like, I just talked to him on Tuesday. You know, so another sad example in life of we can literally be here today and gone tomorrow.
And read Ryan McGee's remembrance at ESPN, because he spent a lot of time with Kyle, and like, he's 41. I'm 41. You shouldn't die at 41. But he also, you know, he ruffled so many feathers early on in his career because he was all about winning. He was driven. Denny Hamlin yesterday called him our Kobe, referring to Kobe Bryant. But as those guys get older, there's always that like begrudging appreciation, and you realize, you know, and he even said after his win the other day, you never know which one's going to be your last, and unfortunately it was that one. But you come to appreciate, like, that dominance was so good for the sport at a time when, you know, a lot of those older guys who drew the attention were fading out of consciousness, you know, of public consciousness, and we needed a new generation of personalities. He gave us one, and it was a very compelling character.
Yeah, it was. It was almost at times it was like a wrestling thing, right?
Oh, no doubt.
And then you would see him in a post-race interview, and you're like, okay, here comes the heel. And, you know, who's he going to challenge, or who he's going to call out? And, you know, but it was great. And for me as a dad, and you as a dad, you know, I go to, you know, one of the things that changes a lot of that brashness, and I had it in my career too early on. I mean, I always wanted to be the best minor league GM in the world and best executive in the world. And there's something swimming across the bay now, and it looks really big, and I hope it's not coming towards my boat, Doc. you know, then you have kids, and that kind of changes the way you look at life. All of a sudden, being the best minor league baseball executive ever wasn't my goal. My goal was to be a good dad, and that changes your priorities. It changes what you do, and I think that happened to Kyle, too. It happens to a lot of people. It happens to a lot of us, and that's a good thing, and I think with that comes some, you know, extra humility and stuff, and I think we certainly saw that. And I, so far, the stuff that I've seen, even from the drivers that he had heated rivalries with, have been filled with a lot of respect. I saw that Denny was on Good Morning America or something this morning talking about how he feels like pound for pound he was the best race car driver who ever lived, and that kind of surprised me a little bit, but. Coming from Denny Hamlin, that's pretty high praise.
And Dale Jr. patched it up with him a couple of years ago, which I'm sure he feels really good about right now, that they were able to you know, get together and realize how much they had in common as well. You mentioned those conversations. I'll shift us for a second because I want to make sure we talk about Parney Time. Because Parney Time is the podcast that Parney does. Parney's the guy on the other end of the phone right now, of course.
Smoking a cigar,
chumming the waters. Life is good on a holiday weekend. Hopefully the weather holds out for you, Parney, this weekend. We're pulling for you. But Parney Time is the podcast. Season 3 just debuted. You just go on Apple, Spotify, wherever. Type in Parney Time, P-A-R-N-E-Y. We started with a phenomenal guest. So tell everybody about that conversation, which I thought was excellent.
You know, I listened to it on the way down. Yesterday I had a Rich Region Tourism board meeting, and then I drove across the state to to the beach here, to Sandbridge. And one of them was Bruce Bochy, who's going to be in the Hall of Fame, four-time World Series manager, longtime major minor league player. And I listened to it, MP, and you were there. Like, what hit me as a listener of Parney Time was just how genuine he was, and he kept adding to the stories, and he kept saying, I don't want to go on too long with this, but here's, let me go a little bit deeper, and just his genuineness. And that's what we want on Parney Time. Like, these people that we have on are famous. These people are world-renowned athletes or managers or coaches or whatever, but the reason they're on Parney Time is because they're our friends, and we've developed relationships with them, which is what makes the world go around. And this number one thing about Parney Time is the relationship. So I thought it was great. The only thing I didn't like about it was I was going through an allergy attack, and I sounded like Peter Brady from the Brady Bunch when his voice changed.
You kind of did. You kind of did.
Yeah, we did it, and I enjoyed how much he talked about the minor leagues. Like, of course, we're going to, you know, the Wyatt, producer Wyatt, put up a clip already on social media about him talking about Madison Bumgarner, because that's what people want to hear, right? Like, you know, how are you feeling as a manager on Game 7? And he basically said, if you remember, there's no way I was going to go out there and take Madison Bumgarner out of the game, right? In Game 7 of 2014.
He wanted it in Game 6. That was an incredible clip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, Mad Bum's he's a whole different character. He's special human being. He just wants to win at life. But what I really liked about it, and I'm curious right now to hear what you liked about the whole show with Bruce Bochy on Parney Time, was how much he talked about his time in the minor leagues and how much he you talk about humility. He's like, I didn't think I was going to be a major league manager. You know, I thought maybe I'd be a minor league manager, but I enjoyed playing in the minor leagues. And he still remembered, you know, his manager's names in the minor leagues, and he still talked about the different towns like Covington, Kentucky. Like, when's the last time we've had a conversation about Covington, Kentucky, and somebody liking it, right? Sorry, Covington, Kentucky. But that's what I enjoyed about it. What did you enjoy about it?
I spent a week there one night. Covington is I'm trying to think. There was a famous UVA footballer, Chase Minifield, Covington, Kentucky, whose dad was in the NFL. There you go. First Covington pull day. Sometimes, like, these people come on and you're like, I see why you are successful. I think you can be an NFL coach and a bad person and, like, not care about your players. You could definitely be a really good college football coach and also a jerk to your players. I don't think you can be successful in Major League Baseball because you live together for 162 games and a month of spring training, and if you're lucky, a month of postseason and maybe a little bit more. And just it's so obvious how he cared about those relationships and getting to know people. I think Pelf is the exact same way in the Flying Squirrels Clubhouse. Like, just, you know, it warms my heart to know that the good guys do win sometimes.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think in life, good guys win all the time. I mean, like, because they have those relationships. And even when you're not winning on the field, you're winning at life. But that's getting pretty deep. But I really thought that one of the best things that Boach said on Party Time was managing, especially in the big leagues, is about how you deal with your players. Period. Like, he's like, yeah, of course, this is the X's and O's. And I'm paraphrasing what he said on Party Time. Of course, it's the X's and O's. But if you have your clubhouse in order and you have people that are policing the clubhouse. You know what surprised me when I said, who is the best clubhouse guy ever in your career? Remember what he said?
Remind me.
Ken Caminiti.
That's right.
Was the best leader and the best club. And I just read a story about Ken Caminiti's death. I mean, that happened 20 years ago, tragically. You know, he had some off-field issues that led to that. I think it was officially a heart attack. But anyway, Ken Caminiti, think of all the players.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to say Hunter Pence.
Oh, that's a good pick, too.
But anyway, he said that he would sit Caminiti down. He would sit the leaders down on spring training, have them in his office and say, what do you want your team to be about? This is your team. I'm just the manager of it. How do you want to play the game? How do you want the clubhouse to feel? And then let me help you do that. And then it's your clubhouse. And I just thought, you know, to me, that's just so – it's not only – and I said it on the show on Party Time. That's indicative of not only baseball, but if you run a business, if you're a leader of an organization, it's the same way. Those relationships with your key people lead you to having positive relationships with everybody else.
It was so well put, and the first of many excellent Party Time episodes to come here in Season 3. Follow it, like it, download it, do all the things right now. You got a long holiday weekend ahead of you. It pairs well with catfishing. It pairs well with sitting by the pool or just being on the road, which I know a lot of our listeners are right now firing up the holiday weekend.
Well, I actually, real quick, I know we got to go.
Oh, yeah.
But Sunday, I'm actually coming back. I don't think the Scrolls have announced it yet, but I'm coming back for the Sunday game to do something special with Trey Wilson, and that's all I'm going to say.
Woo! Okay, now we're talking.
But listen to this. You'll love this. And a lot of times when I'm on your radio show, I forget that we're actually on the radio. I think I'm just talking to my buddy Michael Phillips. which is awesome.
That's the way it should be.
But my buddy Brent, who's the bartender down here at the Sandbridge Island Bar, he and my buddy Alex for the beach are going to ride back with me to Richmond, and I'm going to do my thing on Sunday. They're going to watch the game, and then we're coming back because, as you said, it's a long holiday weekend. So Tauntaun's going to be here at the beach house, probably taking a six-hour nap because she loves taking beach naps. And then Brent and Alex and I. So if any of you listeners out there, if you see two guys from Virginia Beach sitting behind home plate, go and say hi to Alex and Brent on Sunday. But I promised them that we'd be back at the beach bar by probably 7 o'clock.
That's the way it should be. Parney, have a great holiday weekend. Always good hanging with you, and I am locked in for Sunday now.
All right, let's do it. I'm sure you'll hear what's going on. It's going to be a fun time. I love Trey Wilson, and I'm looking forward to what we're going to do on Sunday.
Game on. You'll catch it right here, of course. Richmond's home for the Squirrels. He's Parney. Have fun. Go nuts. Back after this, you're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Yeah, be on the mic. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Catch us worldwide on the free Odyssey app. But stick around. A1's up next. And Grant and Danny later today. That DC crew, man, they're having a good time. They're at the beach. Party show for them. Kicking off the holiday weekend. Love to see it. Squirrels baseball tonight, 7:05. The Ardillas of Valladares. It's Hispanic night at the CarMax Park. Almost did it, but saved myself. It's not the diamond. It's CarMax Park. Get out there. Last night's win. Last night's loss does not count, as everybody now knows. But a little bit of news for you on Friday. Now, historically, the Friday before a holiday is referred to as the news dump day in the business. Like, if you have bad news, you put it out today, and then everybody forgets about it by Tuesday, and the world has moved on. This is not bad news, but it is breaking news, so that's exciting. You think about the Dan Snyder punishment came on July 2nd, right before the July 4th holiday, middle of the summer. JMU and UVA are going to play football against each other in 2 years, in 2028. That's a great announcement. JMU at UVA in Charlottesville, 2028. Get that on your calendar now. Date TBA. So we need more of that. We need more of those matchups. I will be curious. I will be in a bigger playoff by then for sure. I think there's a lot of momentum moving towards a 2014 playoff right now. How does that change non-conference scheduling? How does that change creating opportunities, protecting opportunities? I hope there's always going to be room for games like that. I also know for the JMUs of the world, getting a win in a game like that is going to push you towards the things you want to do, to make the playoffs. If you can get a win in one of those games, it's a gold star on your resume. I think about, JMU pushed Louisville to the brink last year. That helped them out when it was time to pick the playoff teams. UVA gave them a very nice assist as well. See that playing out as well. I was also intrigued that the Georgia, University of Georgia president was at a board meeting with the other SEC athletic directors. He said the quiet part out loud yesterday, so I'll read this quote for you as we continue to cover the turmoil, the change in college sports. Quote, if we do, and this is about NIL, if we don't get federal legislation, in my opinion, we're going to have to do this conference by conference because we can't allow the Wild West to continue any longer. I'm prepared to be ready to vote on creating an SEC mechanism, SEC rules that we have to do if Congress isn't going to act as they should. We just cannot continue down this current path. We have waited months after months for Congress to act, and it hasn't occurred yet. SEC is that's the closest thing we've heard yet to we're going to take our ball and start our own thing. And I know they had the chance with the Big Ten for a while about a 16-team playoff that would pair 1 through 8 on both sides. And now you've got this proposal here. If the SEC had specific rules that I would call salary cap rules around NIL, around leveling back out the playing field, we're never putting the toothpaste back in the tube, but creating leveling out the playing field, it stands to reason they would not want to participate in a college football playoff with conferences still operating from a Wild West standpoint. Now, I think to have legitimacy, I think a college football playoff has to include, at a minimum, the SEC schools and the Big Ten schools. I don't think the SEC can run an SEC-only January tournament and claim the level of legitimacy they would need. They could sell that product. We'd all watch that product. But I don't think we'd view it as a true national champion. I think if you brought the SEC and the Big Ten in, they would then be able to dictate the terms to everybody else. They would then be able to give everybody else, here's how it's going to work if you want to play. And I think the ACCs of the world, the Big 12s of the world, if they were even invited, would have to play by those rules. I think they'd have to in order to be a part of that. And so you've got the first rumblings here out of the SEC. And by the way, this is such a disingenuous framing. The whole like, well, if Congress isn't going to act, Congress was never going to act. How many times have I given this take on this show? You want to make sure something doesn't happen? Ask Congress to do it. Like, come on now. Everybody knew from the very beginning that was never in play at all. Congress was never going to act. They do so little. They were not going to solve college sports. This is their excuse. We asked Congress. Congress didn't do anything though, so guess we have to kind of, yeah, guess we have to do our own thing. Such a bummer. Hate to see it. Blah, blah, blah. No, there was never any chance of Congress doing anything. This is the excuse they are using to set up a new format, but I'm certainly intrigued to see how that goes. We want to crosstalk with AWOD. We'll make some time for that. He's at River City Roll on Fridays. Want to get you rolling on the holiday weekend. One more segment, just sharing some memories about Kyle Busch, NASCAR driver, died yesterday, suddenly and shockingly, at the age of 41. If you want to queue up on the phones to share your memories, 833-804-0910. We're back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM.
Be the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, always worldwide on the free Odyssey app.
Not forgetting the big hot dog stories here. Wienermobile 500 today. Big story in the world. Big deal in the world of hot dogs. Also today, we got the new Joey Chestnut will be defending his hot dog title on July 4th.
Let's go.
While on probation for slapping a dude in a bar.
Crazy.
He can't travel, but the judge has signed off on him traveling to the hot dog eating championship.
Wild behavior.
What a country. What a country.
America.
Yeah, absolutely. On the biggest auto racing weekend of the year, which loses a little juice as they move Monaco off of it, but still very much a cultural phenomenon. The Coca-Cola 600 is Sunday, and it's the longest NASCAR race of the year, 600 miles. It's a test of endurance, and it's going to be a really somber event because Kyle Busch died yesterday at the age of 41. We're still learning more. We're still getting information. The Associated Press reporting that on Wednesday, Kyle Busch tested in the Chevrolet Racing Simulator in Concord. That's where the teams are based, outside of Charlotte, when he became unresponsive and was transported to a hospital in Charlotte. More details have not been disclosed by Busch's team or family. His older brother, Kurt Busch, came before him in NASCAR, NASCAR Hall of Famer, absolute legend. His wife, Samantha, was a presence at the track for a long time. And it's a traveling circus. Yeah. Every week they're in a new city. That's a tight knit community because they pack up, they go city to city every week. And they just, they get to know each other so well. And when something like this happens, it's jarring. And you just don't know what to do, what to say. Here's a stat. This is the first time since 1978 that the Coca-Cola 600 will not have a Busch or an Earnhardt racing.
Wow.
And I know the obvious, you'd be able to say, this is like when Dale Sr. died, but it feels very different in that Dale Sr.'s death changed the sport, full stop. They put the Hans devices on, they changed the walls. It changed everything about NASCAR, and ultimately I think is viewed as the end of that era, the bootlegging era of racing. This is a tragedy. This is something we don't know how this happened, but without jumping to a conclusion, it didn't happen on the track. And so it's very unlikely that the sport changes because of this, but certainly, Kyle Busch and how he's viewed, that legacy is forever different because people remember him. And he was a winner, man. That dude was a winner everywhere he went. He was not popular He was not loved.
Yeah.
He was the heel. But he was also a winner. And it's fascinating to watch the reaction and the people who knew him best, his fellow competitors, giving statements this morning and sharing their reaction, their thoughts from a guy who they just really respected and you know, did not want to race against out there on the track. Rick Hendrick, who, of course, owned the car Kyle Busch has raced in, he put out a statement. "This is an incredibly painful shock for all of us, a heartbreaking loss for the NASCAR family. Kyle was one of the most talented drivers I've ever seen and a racer in the truest sense of the word. As much as he loved to drive a race car, nothing brought him more joy than being a husband, a father, and now watching his son race." And I don't doubt his son's way too young for it now. I don't doubt he's going to be on the circuit with those genes in time. And that'll be the Dale Jr. situation where he's not just racing for himself, but for that family name as well. And so we'll watch that. Jeff Gordon, of course, who was part of that passing of the torch. "This is a devastating loss, one that is hard for the NASCAR community to process. Kyle is a fierce competitor who demanded the very best from himself each time he put on the helmet. He was a champion and a prolific racer who made a tremendous impact on NASCAR and was a lifelong advocate for all forms of motor sports." As we pay tribute to Kyle Busch this morning, ahead of one of the biggest NASCAR races of the year, one of the biggest racing weekends of the year. Certainly not going to feel the same this weekend without a Busch in the car at Charlotte.
It's just weird. It's like, what happened? I mean, I was reading this one thing online here. A little bit more news is that apparently 2 weeks ago he had a substantial cough. They're not sure if that's related, but that's the first I'm hearing of that. And then died about 8 hours after being hospitalized.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's still a lot to learn here, but so sudden, so tragic. And, you know, it doesn't appear to be the direct result of racing or anything like that, which makes it all the more confusing and hard to process. Jimmy Johnson says, "Kyle Busch wasn't just one of the fiercest competitors our sport has ever seen. He was one of the most talented race car drivers I've ever shared a track with. We spent years as teammates, even as competitors. There was always a deep respect for what he could do behind the wheel." So many legends, and I'm sure many more tributes to come this weekend on the race, during the race, and it's not going to be the same from here. That is for sure.
I think the tributes this weekend at the race are going to be really sad. Like, it's going to be very emotional this weekend.
I mean, Joe Gibbs, who owned the team during Kyle Busch's titles, Joe has had so much family tragedy of his own that he's navigated, and now his grandson's in the car after losing his sons. You feel for everybody involved with that. We appreciate you guys sharing some of your memories with us online and during the show today. We'll get you back to holiday programming, but we'll keep Kyle Busch and his family in our thoughts during this time. Denny Hamlin, absolutely cannot comprehend this news. I think that's it right there.
Yeah, that's the feeling.
We're all working to understand this together. And we'll keep working through it. And I know we'll crosstalk with AWOD here in a bit. We'll keep our thoughts with Kyle Busch's family. We'll be back after the holiday weekend next Tuesday, hopefully with more information to pass along to you. And I know our Westwood One coverage all weekend, we'll stay on top of it as well. We'll get to crosstalk. We'll wrap things up. Send you off to the holiday weekend right after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan now at 105.1 FM.